Indeed it does. And we thank you so much for being here with us. Jason Ross, I am Damian Barling. This is The Lowdown. Welcome in wherever you may be. If that's on the radio.com app, we appreciate that so much. If you haven't yet downloaded the radio.com app, you absolutely should. You can listen to us each and every single day right there from your mobile device. You can also listen to us on the TuneIn app. You can listen to us on KHDK.com. You can subscribe to the Lowdown podcast and listen to us at your very leisure, day or night. You can even listen to us a second time, and who wouldn't want to do that? Yeah. Listen to us twice. Listen to us three times.
Sure.
Whatever you want to do. Subscribe to the Lowdown podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform while you're there. If you wouldn't mind, rate and review us. It only takes a couple of seconds. If you have an iTunes account, it's real easy to do. We would greatly appreciate that. That makes us look good to the bosses. You can also like us on Facebook, because it's our job to really
push
Facebook.
Push it real good.
Push it real good. Salt and Pepper coming up here at the Downtown Chowdown in just about a week or so. Luke Bryan coming up October 13th at the Toyota Amphitheater. We have your tickets for that right now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, and we will get you all set up there. Sacramento Kings beat the Spurs last night, 106-101. Jay Ross and I spent a lot of time talking about that, particularly in the first hour. Did we get to the All-Star game change?
No, we didn't yet.
We'll touch on that in just a heartbeat. We'll get to our winners and losers of Week 4 of the NFL season as well. For those who are curious, Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, Costa Kufis, George Hill, and our man Garrett Temple started for the Kings last night. Each of them played under 10 minutes. Nothing really surprising there. We were discussing whether I don't think that that's the starting lineup going into the season. You think George Hill is going to start?
Yes.
I think Costa Kufis is going to start. Where we're kind of pushing is Garrett Temple going to start? And if so, where is he going
to
start?
Yeah, and where does – the small forward is the biggest mystery to me, so could he start there? Would Carter start just because of experience? Do they go with one of the younger guys? Randolph's been a starter until last year. There's – you know, at some point, he's going to play young guys because it's a roster filled with it, but is he going to sprinkle them in? Is it going to be heavy veterans at the beginning? I don't know. Some tough choices for the coach.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I say the group that starts game one, mm-hmm. Will start game 15.
Yeah, I think that's going to change quite a bit.
I'm probably pretty confident, not as confident in that statement, but still confident in the group that starts game 15. Probably going to be a different group that starts game, say, 44.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be a lot of fluctuation to the starting lineup, and as you noted earlier, there's going to be a lot of shuffling of how playing time is going to work. And I'm far more, I don't want to use the word concerned, I'm far more curious about how Dave Yeager manages playing time more than the starting lineup.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Because whether we're talking, I think there's a, if a guy is starting or coming off the bench, but they're playing 15 to 18 minutes a night regularly, regardless of whether they're coming off the bench or starting, I think guys can adapt to that. They may not like it, but they can adapt to it. I think the issues come along when we have players playing 18, 19, 20 minutes one night and then 2-5 or a DMP the next night. I think that's where things get a little murky.
I'm with you, because we get caught up in the starting lineup, but it's about the bulk minutes, the finishing minutes. That's where people and teams get more of their wins in there anyway. So we always wonder who starts, but it's really about those other minutes, the majority of the minutes, and I think that's going to be fluid and changing a lot.
De'Aaron Fox was as special as you. He was what you wanted him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And one preseason game, we've gone through summer league and we've gone through one preseason game, and we'll tell you that watching him last night was okay. I get it. I see it. Although the attributes that you heard about him are accurate, he is freakishly fast. Like, that's not a talking point. That's not a cool draft moniker. That's not a way to separate him from other guys. He is ridiculously and noticeably fast on the floor, and he was fun to watch last night. All of those, you know, Scal picked up right where he left off. Buddy was efficient. Frank Mason is a guy who I think is going to have a lot of fans as the season progresses.
He reminds me of Isaiah Thomas, not the way he plays, but his situation. Isaiah came in as the last pick. All right, is he going to make the team? Let's see if this guy can make the team. We made the team. Then it's, you know, we got to play him a little bit. and then he's playing a little bit. Then he gets in the rotation. Then he becomes a starter. Then he scores 20 points a game for the team, and now he's an MVP type of candidate on another team. But I don't know that Frank Mason's going to do all of that, but it's also one of those where you go, yeah, we're playing George Hill. We're definitely playing De'Aaron Fox. I don't know where the minutes are for this guy, but I got to play him because I think good things happen with him on the floor. He's tough. Coach Yeager talked about him postgame yesterday, just his guts. That's the kind of player he is. And he was a good player at a good program, National Player of the Year. He's got 4 years experience, so just good guy to have on the team.
If you're keeping track, Harry Giles and Marcus Williams did not play last night. Do you have any thoughts on Bogdanović?
I liked him. I mean, it was the first, you know, first chance to see him in person. Nothing, I would say, stood out overwhelmingly in a positive or a negative, but the way I always look at it when you're kind of looking at guys for the first time, do they belong? Are they going to be in the right spot? Can they play in this league? And I say there's no doubt that he can. He looks the part. There was one play that, you know, really had no impact in the game, but I was super impressed with his court awareness. It was the end of the first quarter. There was a kind of a busted play. They got it through ahead to him, and he turned, caught it, and shot it all in one motion from three. And I thought, what is he doing? Oh, there's no time left. But he knew it. I mean, I didn't at the time. I wasn't aware of the clock. He was. So I think his court awareness is good. It looks like he's going to be a good passer. Just didn't really hit shots yesterday, but that'll happen.
He got a hell of a reaction when he came into the game. That was mentioned this earlier. It wasn't a big crowd there. It was diehard Kings fans that were there. But
got a nice hug from Vince Carter, too.
He sure did.
Yeah.
I actually watched that for a second, like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Did I miss? I did the head tilt. Like, I was like, did I miss something? Because usually don't see embraces like that for the first substitution of the game.
Right, in a preseason.
What just happened? Like, all right, cool. But the crowd really responded to him. And again, as I mentioned, you know, those were diehard Kings fans that were there last night. Got a chance. Do want to say it was great to meet so many people who are kind enough to stop and say that they listen to the show. That's one thing that more than the basketball, that is what I love about being at the Golden One Center. It was also very cool to meet a number of people who were at the Golden One Center for the first time.
Yeah, we take that for granted sometimes. I remember that late last year, walking on the concourse, seeing a father and son, I assume, walking in, but they were together like, oh, my gosh, look at this place. I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah, you have – I mean, it is pretty cool.
And I've been there for games, concerts, wrestling, whatever it is, and there's still a certain feel to it where it's like, this is cool.
This is our place.
This is our – yeah, this is like – it's like we got a really cool house now.
Yeah.
And I don't know when that's going to wear off. I hope it doesn't wear off anytime soon. Like, I had gone up with some buddies of mine to the party area up at the top during
the
halftime.
How was that during
the game? It's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of action.
Oh,
There's a lot of people there, right?
There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot happening up there.
I remember when I had a chance to just early construction of it, and they were talking about that place. I said, that's going to be the spot. That's going to be a spot where
absolutely.
People hang out, and it's proven to be true.
I mean, you're waiting for a minute to get a drink. you know what I mean?
Well,
you know, I was trying to buy my buddy's beers, get some water, and just hang out there and talk for a minute. And a lot of people stay up there, and they watch the game from there. And that's why a lot of times when the camera comes back or the game comes back, you see that the seats are empty. They're up at
they're
Sierra Nevada party deck. And if look, Golden One, if y'all need some help, let me know. I'll help y'all out because we'll just cut the lights off when the game's over and have a party up there.
Yeah.
Just bring a DJ in. I'll go get one of my guys from KSFM, and we'll have a hell of a night up there. Oh, man, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Food's already cooking. The beer's already flowing. Let's just stay.
Yeah,
I know there's got to be some arena that has a nightclub in it.
Yeah.
Why not the Golden One Center?
Why not?
It worked.
I don't know if they have it this year. I know last year they had the rare home back-to-back where they played like Friday and Saturday night. You could just get in Friday, stay all day, and then go to the game Saturday.
The first ever basketball festival.
Yeah.
Two-day pass for the basketball
festival.
Your whole
24 hours at Golden One.
Printing money, baby. Yeah. We are printing money. So the Kings are 1-0 here to start the preseason. Next game coming up?
Friday against the Spurs in San Antonio.
Can I tell you something funny? As I was on my way home, I was listening to – I don't remember where it was in the game, but I know you'll remember this. The G-man made a call and he couldn't figure out who the player was. And he was like, I got to flip over to the other side of my game board to see this. And he's like, he's really flustered. I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
this unnamed player just scored this, and I'm cracking up because I know you're searching to find out who
scrambling.
The player is.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure out who this guy is, and I know G-Man is so flustered that he has no clue who this guy in front of him was, and I could tell 10 minutes could have gone by and only 20 seconds did, but if 10 minutes had gone by, he would have been trying to figure out who that guy was because he wasn't going to let it go.
I didn't do a very good job at that moment because I'm thinking, I'm looking at the roster too. The number doesn't match, so it's almost like a high school game in the years past where you get a roster like, these aren't even the right numbers. But in the NBA to have that, so it was the wrong number, and then I'm looking at names that I am not familiar with either, and I'm going, I think it's him. So I wrote down, you know, and G-Man's like, well, it's blah, blah, blah. He's only 6'3". I don't think it's him. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm trying. And then we figured out it was Matt Costello, of all people. That was just
Matt Costello,
who was in a different number, and... Yeah, we
so
were scrambling.
Great. That was so good because I'm listening to this knowing I can envision what Jason is doing right now. He is looking all over the place
panicking.
Trying to – Deuce Mason is
he
like, what is – like, who is that guy? What's happening? And there's Gary Gerald. Like, if I don't imagine the G-Man has ever uttered a bad word in his life. Mm-hmm. But if he was going to and he could have hit the cough button, I think he would have done it right
there. Well, you know he's prepared. He has everything. It's all there. But it wasn't, you know, when you've got someone numbered and it's not matching up, you're like, wait, who is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple other basketball notes. The Lakers are going to hire Antoine Jameson to a scouting role. Good stuff there for Antoine Jameson. Was always a fan of his. Chris Bosh was at practice for the Lakers today. Sitting next to Rob Pelinka.
Okay.
Just saying. Maybe he's just watching, just observing. Maybe he's just in L.A.
All right.
The All-Star game, we had mentioned this a second ago. There's going to be a change to the NBA All-Star game, and we're going to get into our week four winners and losers of the NFL season here in just a heartbeat. There's going to be a change in the way the NBA All-Star game is done, and it's going to be similar to what the NFL tried with the Pro Bowl, in that the East versus West is gone, and we're going to pick captains.
And that's literally us. It's the fans voting, right? And the top two vote-getters will end up being captains.
And that's it?
Yeah. Well, they're captains, but we're still voting All-Stars.
Can I?
The All-Stars the All-Stars will be named from each conference, but then the captains will be picking, okay, I will take Steph Curry, and I will take, you know, James Harden, whatever.
So the All-Stars are still, like, I can't pick Harry Giles from the Sacramento Kings, who's averaging 2 minutes a game or something along those lines. Not that Harry can't be an All-Star this year. I'm just assuming his role is going to be a little on the smaller side.
No, so the same way the All-Stars are constructed, which I believe is five starters voted by fans, the reserves by the coaches, and then that group, whatever the top vote-getters will be captains, if I read it correctly, and then they will pick the roster. So we could have a version of the Banana Boat Crew, right? But I think what will be – I don't mind the idea. I think should we know who the guys picked? I mean, we'll know who they picked. The order? Like, would that be – let's pick
– the number one overall pick of the
– Yeah, let's say it's –
Yeah, I think we should line them up.
Oh,
like you're at the schoolyard.
Durant and Curry are the captains because they were the two vote getters from the Warriors. Now they're on different teams, but if it's like, hey, why'd you pick Clay and Draymond, but you didn't pick any Warriors? Or when LeBron goes, or when Westbrook goes?
Though they televise All-Star game practices.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to an All-Star game practice. They're not doing nothing.
Yeah.
Do it then.
Are you comfortable
line up
being
the guys,
captain then?
Line up the guy. Hey, if you can't take the heat, son.
Yeah.
Line up the guys with jerseys in hand, right? I got, you know, Steph Curry. Throw him his blue jersey.
Woo-hoo!
I got Kevin Durant. Throw him his white jersey.
Pick me.
And then there's going to be an all-star
left
standing there who's not picked. Come on, how great would that be? Tell me that wouldn't be fantastic.
Uncomfortable for the last All-Star. Also, here's the uncomfortable moments. I'm going to put LeBron and Durant as the captains.
Okay.
Just in our imaginary world.
Okay.
Does LeBron take the kid, Kyrie? Does KD take Russ?
But how great would it be for LeBron to say, I got the kid.
Give me that kid over there from Boston.
That would be great. The amount... The possibilities are endless here.
This is your wrestling background.
Does he, right? This is it. I told you. Jason, life is better when you look at it through the perspective of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
The storylines that could come out of this. What if you said Durant, so it's Durant and LeBron. LeBron takes, Durant has the first pick, and he takes Kyrie instead of Steph.
Then LeBron takes Westbrook?
LeBron takes Westbrook. How about that?
Yeah.
What if, and then a second pick comes around and Durant still doesn't take Steph.
Yeah.
And then LeBron takes Steph. Why didn't KD take Steph? Oh, it's the end of the dynasty. Oh, it's over. They're falling apart. Yeah. The Golden State Warriors are falling apart all because of this new All-Star game format.
So KD's like, all right, and I'm taking Kevin Love. And LeBron's like, that's fine. You can have him.
You want to take him back with you to Golden State?
That's right.
Because if you want to, we could work out a star swap right now.
Yeah. I don't mind the concept.
I don't know that this does anything. Everyone was bitching and complaining. Anyway. I think the older you were, the more you hated the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't bother me. I know what to expect.
I know what it is. You're right.
Right.
I know what it is. Show me a few highlights. Play a little bit. If you don't, whatever.
Even, did Marv call it? I think Marv Albert called it. He was like furious.
Mm-hmm.
Marv, this game doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And I heard people the next day, Dan Patrick, who I love, we've got to do something about this. Don't watch it.
Right.
Turn it off. Go do something else with your, Sunday afternoon. It's a freaking All-Star game.
Right.
Who cares? I wanted them to score 200, and I was personally pissed off when they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
For the last 2 years, they have pushed 200 points. They've gotten really close. And I have, not last year, but the year before, I was yelling, you guys are running out of time. You got to get to 200. What are you guys doing? I enjoy it. It doesn't bother me. I know what I'm watching. I'm not offended by guys not playing defense. The flashier the play, the better.
Yeah.
The more threes, the better.
Entertain.
Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins doing what Shaquille O'Neal used to do and run the ball up the floor, dribbling through their legs, pulling up for three. Fine.
Yeah.
Who's it hurting? You want to worry? Wait till fans aren't buying tickets to it.
Yeah.
Wait till it does nothing for the city that game is in. This isn't going to do anything to silence those people. This isn't going to change the competitiveness of the game. But I like the potential television that comes out
the theater.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I think there are some good things ahead. So that's in effect this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Winners and losers of week 4 of the NFL season. I'm going to lead off. I'll go negative.
Losers?
You're the positive. I'll mention one loser, then we can get into negative. They got beat up by the Packers on Thursday. Danny Trevathan was suspended sometime early Saturday morning for the next two games. I'm sure that's been an appeal since Saturday. Took out Devontae Adams with that awful head-to-head shot. I don't know if Devontae Adams is playing this week or not. I can't imagine he is after that shot that he took. And now you're changing quarterbacks. And I don't have a problem with the Bears changing quarterbacks. I think if Mitchell Trubisky is your guy, especially if you're John Fox, that's who you have to go with, because another failed season by the Chicago Bears is going to result in John Fox being fired. So it's fine that Mitchell Trubisky is out there. But the fact that I'm kind of along the lines of the same way I feel about Bill O'Brien. Why didn't you just start him in the first place? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand you felt obligated to play the guy you paid $16 million, but the fact is, he was a backup quarterback. It's not like you lured a starter away. He was a backup quarterback in Tampa Bay. He wasn't a backup to Tom Brady like Jimmy Garoppolo is. He wasn't a backup to Peyton Manning. He was a backup to Jameis freaking Winston. And I believe, as Ken stated a number of times last season, he was the Bucs guy, Mike Glennon's a good backup quarterback. Not all backups are good starters. You should have gone with Mitchell Trubisky in the first place. So now you're getting your teeth kicked in, and you got to march a rookie quarterback out there. You damn near had a bye week. You played Thursday, you're playing Monday. But that's a tough stage for him to make his debut. Of course, legends are made on Monday night, so perhaps, he comes out, he has a big game, it gets everybody's attention. But you can go to winners if you want to.
I got a couple more losers on my list.
Okay.
Yeah. Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
I put him there just because the last 2 weeks they've had winnable games for Cleveland. And you made me think of this yesterday when you brought it up, and you're probably right that this is his last chance at probably being a head coach, only because I think he can do the job, but he has not won. And when it's that bad and it's a second crack at it, and we're not even seeing signs of improvement. And they've tried different quarterbacks. Just they've tried a lot of different things. In the last 2 weeks, I think missed opportunities, losing to the Colts, losing to the Bengals. There are tougher games still to come. It's not going well for him or for the Browns.
215 total yards for the Cleveland Browns on Sunday.
Yeah. The other one I would throw on my loser list, by the way. London football, you've had two just dog games. The Ravens were awful last week or 2 weeks ago. And this last week, the Dolphins, Jay Cutler, they couldn't do anything offensive. They got shut out. There's one more in a couple weeks, but...
See, look at you being the optimist.
Yeah.
I would have said London football. You've had several years of crappy NFL action. You're stuck with the Jaguars as basically your hometown team. That's fine for that's a definite positive for the loser list. Since we'll wrap up losers, we'll stay with them. And this team I'm actually happy to put on the loser list. For the second week in a row, their offense has stunk. Their defense has been a disaster, and perhaps, as the text said yesterday, I wasn't wrong about the Ravens. I need to have the text in front of me to read it properly, but I'm putting the Ravens on my loser list. They overachieved, I think, the first 2 weeks. They've underachieved the last 2 weeks, and I don't know which team that they are. I'm far more inclined, especially given what I said about them in the offseason, far more inclined to they're the team that we saw the last 2 weeks. But they did play Pittsburgh. They have Oakland coming up. They should not beat the Raiders. I don't care if I'm the quarterback. They shouldn't beat the Raiders. I don't like Baltimore, and I'm thrilled to put them on the loser list this week. Do you have any more? Should we go to winners?
Yeah, let's go to winners.
Should we be positive?
All right.
Okay, who do you got for your first winner?
First winner is Deshaun Watson, because this team started Tom Savage. We can pick apart what Bill O'Brien's decision was there.
Yeah.
Then he goes to Deshaun Watson. We believe he can be a guy. You're now calling him superstar potential. So if you look at what he's done, how he competed and probably could have won that game in New England against Tom Brady, this last week has a rookie record tying 5 touchdowns that he's responsible for. We already know the defense is pretty strong. If they get quarterback play like this from him, and remember the game against Cincinnati earlier that they won, he wasn't very good, but he won the game because of his one touchdown run. So he's got different elements to help hurt you or to hurt you from the opponents. And I think Deshaun Watson's breakout puts him on the winner list for me.
And don't at me because of that superstar remark. Like, I legitimately believe it. Mm-hmm. And we were getting texts yesterday that had the tone of Chris. Superstar, Damian? Really?
Really?
Superstar? Yeah,
really?
I think the potential is there. You mentioned Miller. He's playing really well also. I'm telling you, every time they do something right, it makes me want to fire Bill O'Brien. But I love Deshaun Watson. That kid wins games, man. He's been winning games since he was in college, but we just, whatever. Let's take Mitchell Trubisky first. Let's take A, B, C, D, E, F, and G first. All right. You're going to regret it. And I don't think it's too early to say that. He's fun to watch. My biggest winner, I hate that they beat up the Dallas Cowboys, but I love that I can jump on this bandwagon because I wanted to the week before when they put up their second 40-point performance. They put up 35 against Dallas. I don't think Dallas's defense is that bad. I don't think it's 35 points to the opponent bad, but they certainly made them look bad. They're not great. They're in the middle of good to not horrible. They're somewhere in that category. But I'm going to watch the Rams play. Jared Goff is a quarterback worth watching. Todd Gurley is back to that guy who had a tremendous string of games. Remember, Todd Gurley didn't have a fantastic rookie season. He had a fantastic string of games during his rookie season. And he's back to that guy. That was one of our biggest questions coming into this season is what – the real Todd Gurley, please stand up. Well, if this is the real Todd Gurley, I love it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch. And things could get interesting as we head into the second quarter of the NFL season. Things could get really interesting as we head into the third and fourth quarter of the NFL season with the Rams and the Seahawks. But if I had to have a biggest winner, it's the Rams.
I like it. My winner that I'm going to go a little bit out here with this one is Sean McDermott, the coach of the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. I think people forget who he is, that he's coaching that team. There's other first-year coaches that are getting more attention, specifically the Rams, as McVay should. He's doing an excellent job. But McDermott
better
has,
looking. That's all it
yeah,
is.
He is. McDermott has the Bills in a division, first place in a division that no one thought they could win, because that's just a lock for Belichick and the Patriots. And they're not only in first at 3-1, they're the NFL's best defense. And what they did last week, they were impressive in Atlanta. Their speed, their tackling, their physical nature, they were everywhere. So I think the Bills and Sean McDermott are a winner for me.
And when you look at their offense, they're doing just enough to win.
Not flashy.
Just enough. Tyrod Taylor, 182 yards in the air.
Normally, that's not winning.
12 completions, 182 yards.
Yeah.
That's not where you look at and you go, yeah, that team is definitely leading the New England Patriots in the AFC East.
Yeah.
We'll touch on a few more winners here as we continue. Then we'll take a look ahead to Week 5. Obviously, we know Oakland plays the Ravens. We'll let you know what leads us off Thursday. It's an AFC East team. We'll touch on all of that as we continue. Plus, there's playoff games tonight, Jay Ross. All of that in the final half hour of the lowdown. A transverse process fracture.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of those.
It's a far cry from back spasms.
Yeah.
A little bit different. A little bit different there. Do you have any more winners? Did we touch on them all? We have Buffalo. Can we give Carolina some love?
We should.
Yeah, you win. Okay, you win. We'll pay attention. I mean, 3-1. Even that was their first like offensive kind of explosion, much like we saw from Seattle. Just best game from Cam Newton. Super efficient. Mm-hmm. Got the ball in the end zone. Only one mistake. Okay.
Yeah.
You win. I see you. So we'll put them on the winners list. Philly obviously just continues to play great ball, and as I noted, they're going to get better. The more that I watch Philadelphia, the more that I kind of look at them and read articles from people significantly smarter than I think Philly is the class of the NFC East, and I think Philadelphia may wind up being the class of the NFC as a conference by the time this season is over. Is those things that we noted earlier. Their offensive line is playing well. They're doing a lot of things right, and I think they're going to get better. So each week that they win, I'm going to put Philadelphia on my winners list because I think they're going to be really tough for the Cowboys to beat. The Giants, I don't know what's going on with the Giants, but I haven't seen them do anything that leads me to believe they're going to fix it. They've scored some more points over the last five quarters than they did in the previous, two games and three quarters. So maybe that's the turnaround, but it didn't result in a win for them. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that what could play out to be an interesting race in the NFC is like all the playoff positions. I mean, I know that's what you're battling for, but I'm a fan of almost every team in the NFC South because I think the Saints can beat you if they're on their game. Tampa looks to be pretty good. Atlanta, obviously, 3-1, and we just praised Carolina, so that whole division is good. I think in the East right now, I know the Giants were an 11-win team last year, but while they're not finding their way between the Cowboys, the Redskins look pretty good, and Eagles. I don't know that there's a lot of depth in the NFC West, but you might have two teams battling there with the Rams and Seattle, and then Green Bay seems to be the class of that division. But, hey, Detroit's 3-1, so there's some talented teams. It's just I don't know who's fantastic in the NFC, but there's some teams off to good starts.
It's going to be a good week.
Mm-hmm.
Starts on Thursday right here on Sports 1140, your home for the NFL. Thursday night football. The Patriots head down. By the way, it is Ken Rudolph's 50th birthday today.
That's right. Happy birthday, Kenjamin.
Kenneth Aloysius Rudolph, a very happy 50th birthday as we bombarded him with text. I'm sure he's napping right now, getting ready for whatever his wonderful wife is going to do for him. His wonderful wife desperately wanted to go to Janet Jackson tonight and realized, oh, it's the old man's birthday. All right, got
to
make
the
old man
night
happy.
To do it. Yeah.
Ken doesn't strike me as a Janet type of guy.
Probably not.
Doesn't strike me as a Janet type of guy. But Ken.
It's Rudolph if you're nasty.
It,
yeah. No. Okay. I'll go for a minute.
At Jason Ross 1140. Again, that's at Jason Ross 1140. Ken came to mind here not only because of his birthday, because his his Buccaneers are hosting the Patriots coming up on Thursday Night Football to kick off Week 5.
Big game. Good game. Should be. I mean, I like what Tampa's doing. And
Patriots are 2-2.
Yeah, that's the thing. Are they as bad defensively as they're showing? Sure looks like it. I mean, everybody's been able to score points in a big bunch on them. It's a short week. They're on the road. Two good quarterbacks. I mean, Jameis is really growing. So I think Thursday, this will be a good Thursday night game.
You called this a long time ago. Do you want to change? You had the Bucs beating the Patriots before the season started when there was all of this silliness about the Patriots.
19-0.
All of this nonsense. Do you want to stick with that? You going with the Bucs?
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Absolutely.
I like it. The Jets and the Browns are playing each other.
Yeah, that's why it's like it is a good weekend, but there are some weird games, right? Because teams that you don't think much of, the Jets and the Browns are playing each other.
One you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and the Niners and the
Colts.
That
one, yep.
I mean, that's somebody's going to win. And then even the 0-4s that we think are better, Giants and Chargers, they're playing each other.
If Jay Cutler sucks this weekend against Tennessee, do you just call it?
Yeah, I don't know why Adam Gase is so adamant right now in defending him.
He knows the system, Jason.
Okay, well, he's doing it wrong.
He knows Adam Gase's system.
Then he's point shaving. I don't know what's going on.
Did you see? Okay, I'm going to phrase this delicately. Did you see him line up as the wide receiver?
Jay Cutler?
Yes.
Oh, I'd believe that.
He lined up as a wide receiver.
Okay.
And just stood there with his hands on his hip.
Pretty much like he does at press conferences or just at life.
Okay. If he was a real wide receiver and he did that, if that was Odell Beckham Jr., what do you think the response would
have
been?
Well, you saw when they're playing Denver.
And the interception.
I mean, a play that, okay, maybe right in the moment, but after it was passed. I mean, it would have looked better for him to run, but whatever. He'd get criticized for that. Yeah, anybody would be.
Just stood there.
Yeah.
Hands on it,
not
sulking.
Even a decoy.
Like, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Jay Cutler knows the system. $10 freaking million right there. Jay Cutler and Brandon Whedon had jobs in the NFL.
Yeah, he hasn't even had 10 points in the last 2 weeks.
Yay. Steelers and Jaguars, that's an interesting one. Your Jacksonville Jaguars go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh looks like they're bored.
Yeah.
Like, they're not fun to watch.
And they should be.
Right. Antonio Brown they're winning by 20, and he's mad. Le'Veon Bell, I love Mike Tomlin. That's why, this is why I love Mike Tomlin. He said after week one, Le'Veon Bell's going to get all the reps that he missed during games.
Mm-hmm.
He was not lying.
Yeah.
He's touching the ball 30 times a game.
And he was good this week, though. I mean, he had kind of been slowly, and then he broke out, really had a good game.
Let's see. We got the Cardinals and the Eagles. All right. Somebody is getting a win at MetLife. Very true. We flirted with a couple of ties this week.
Yes, we did.
Okay. The odds are someone is going to get a win at MetLife Stadium when the Chargers come to visit.
The question is, these teams are similar in a sense that they're both usually down and they both maybe have a chance to win or tie in the fourth quarter. So, it's hard
to
both trailing each other somehow in the fourth quarter.
It's going to be 0-0 going into the fourth.
Man.
I think the Chargers are better than the Giants are.
I agree with that.
But because the Chargers are going to New York, I think New York's going to win.
Will there be more Charger fans in New York than they get in their own stadium?
I think there's more Charger fans in this building
probably
than there are in their own building.
Man.
Seahawks and Rams, there it is. In Los Angeles, I don't know that that matters. Are there going to be more Seahawks fans in Los Angeles?
I think the Rams will have some people there this week.
Yeah,
I do. I think they're 3-1. LA is a front running kind of town. I think there'll be a decent crowd there.
Raiders and Ravens, obviously, you know about that one. We've talked a great deal about that. One we haven't talked about, the Packers at the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Great playoff matchup last year.
Yeah, late Sunday night game. Of course, Dez Bryant has still caught the ball.
Hmm.
Chiefs and Texans on Sunday Night Football.
That should be good.
Texans, Deshaun Watson at home against that Chiefs team.
Chiefs getting a lot of national love, right? They had the Thursday night game early. They have this Sunday night. They just played on Monday night. I'm impressed, though, with Kansas City.
And I want to see how good Houston is. Because just a friendly reminder, when the spotlight is on, Houston folds. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily Deshaun Watson. The team as a whole just goes away. It's like, no, we don't want this. Don't put us on national television because we stink it up when we do. Monday Night Football brings us the Bears that we talked about earlier against the Minnesota Vikings.
Not that appealing, just to see how Trubisky does.
And that's enough, right? In Chicago, Soldier Field, there are baseball games tonight. There are very meaningful baseball games tonight. We'll touch on those, and we'll end on a happy note here with the Lowdown on Sports 1140. You guys have no bad idea how bad Jason wanted to be a part of the Janet Jackson dance crew that was at the Golden One Center last night.
I needed the song like one more loop, and then I had it.
Then you were going to jump down there?
Then I had, no, not only that, but then I had the routine, but I didn't have it right away.
You were working on it.
I was. I was like, I want to take a part of this.
Yeah. It looked fun. Dancing is fun.
Next time. Yeah.
You and G-Man. Just teach
Steve. Yeah, absolutely.
If the camera pans up and you, G-Man, and Deuce Mason are in the front row of that radio booth dancing to
If we had that routine.
Anything.
What if it was that us? Would that have been an awesome moment or an embarrassing moment?
That would have been the greatest moment in the history of, I don't want to say the Golden One Center. Yeah, the history of life.
We'll work on it.
Definitely the history of BC life. Like that, it ranks up there. What happened, or AD life, I should say. It'd be pretty. Can't speak for BC.
There's some good stuff, BC.
But a dance routine by the radio guys at the arena.
Yeah.
Save it for regular season. Save it the Warriors or Cleveland when you know the arena is
big
packed
crowd.
Or opening night.
Yeah.
Save it for
national
then.
TV as well. Maybe get some love there.
Definitely. You guys been practicing?
We'll find out.
Secrets, huh?
Yeah.
Secrets. Your squad, your boys, if you will.
Oh, I will.
Are playing tonight. your New York Yankees in the Twins tonight.
I'm nervous.
Well, you should be. It's a one-game playoff. This isn't the beginning of a series. I like these one-game playoffs. They're fun. They're dramatic, and they're never dull. Like, I mean, I'm sure there have been some stinkers, but I mean, I guess you remember the good ones, forget the bad ones. But the ones in recent memory have been really good. I expect this one to be good, too.
Yeah, baseball has a way of, to me, in the playoffs, it ends up about the mistakes. A base running miscue, an error, or maybe a managerial decision that goes wrong. Because, in one game, you watch this one differently tonight than you would a Tuesday night in June. Yeah. I mean, it's just... 3-1 count. Now Judge has got his advantage or those little things like that. And I'm anxious to see him in his first playoff game. And, baseball, this is when it's at its best, certainly. And I hope they advance, obviously. But good for the Twins. They've had a nice season. That kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, baseball is so fun this time of year. And it's amazing. I joked about this yesterday. We had a basketball game on yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Major League Baseball playoffs that start tonight. We have a hockey game on this network tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And then
starts tomorrow.
Thursday night football coming up on Thursday. We searched all summer long. Yeah. How are we going to fill these 3 hours? What can we do? Now, the NBA helped us out. There were some moments in the NFL. There were some moments outside of sports that really got us through the summer. But now here we are, all the major sports underway.
Yeah, at a crossroads here. But it's a good time for sports fans. Every night there's something, really.
I know. Who's on the mound for you again tonight?
Severino.
Severino, that's who it was. Okay. And is that there's one other playoff game as well,
right? It's tomorrow, yeah. The NL is tomorrow with Arizona and Colorado. And then the AL, series will begin on Thursday and the NL on Friday, I think, yeah. And they're all scattered. I mean, there's going to be four going on at once.
Yeah, it's a fun time. Fun time. Let's do what we do, J. Ross. Let's end on a happy note. I forgot about that. It shocked the crap out of me.
It kind of hit me, too.
I completely forgot.
Chris didn't forget.
I forgot this was a thing. Totally forgot. I would have led into it better. I would have led into it much better with a more upbeat. Let's get happy. Let's end on a happy note right here. Every once in a while, sports leagues get things right, and the UFC, who's based primarily in Las Vegas, announced yesterday they'll donate $1 million to the families of those affected by what happened at the Mandalay Bay on Sunday. Dana White said they took full count of their employees. They tracked everyone down Sunday night into Monday morning, trying to make sure no one within their organization was hurt. And in addition to the $1 million donation, UFC 216, which is taking place on Saturday at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, will be dedicated to the entire city of Las Vegas. The Raiders issued a statement. They're making a donation as well. So it's good to see organizations so closely affiliated with Las Vegas stepping up and, well, for lack of a better term, putting their money where their mouth is. Prayers and condolences are really nice.
Sure.
Hashtags are really cute. It gets you to fit in there on social media. But when organizations do stuff like this, it goes a long way, especially for the families who are going to be dealing with a whole lot over the next coming days, months, years.
Yeah, and I know a lot of time, too, if you can give time or your own efforts and causes besides just money. I mean, money is wonderful. That's needed and helpful and all of that, but also just being there for other people is really important.
Yeah, so good on UFC.
Yeah.
Good on absolutely. UFC. Any happy stories you want to share? Or
that's
you want
a really
to end
good
on that
I mean,
one?
Well, there's sadness undertone, but that's still in the end, you have to try to find the silver lining and the positive in such a horrific incident, but the amount of people that are being supportive. I know we're going to have a blood drive tomorrow, and then KNC, all the CBS stations are doing a blood drive. Just to everybody wants to feel like, what can they do to help?
Yeah.
And I think those anything is always helpful, even if it's the smallest thing. There's nothing too small.
Without going too far out, people want stay in your lane has become a popular phrase because of that dope in Los Angeles. And we didn't even do that. Do you have anything there?
No.
Okay, good. So we can just leave that alone. We'll be the show that doesn't talk about
right.
it.
Right, thank you.
People, you know, with sports, you like to talk about sports.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a great example, which we don't do, so whatever. and you know what else? You know, but where I was going with what I really like are guys like Jimmy Kimmel, who are funny, ridiculously funny. And two times over the course of the last less than a month, Jimmy Kimmel has really stepped outside the world of comedy to talk about other things, whether it's healthcare, which he has very personal experiences, or whether it's, and I didn't know this, Las Vegas is his hometown. I had no idea. Yeah. So to watch guys do like that, and I know regardless of what your opinion is on the matters at hand, hearing people who normally don't talk about stuff like that, I think is very valuable because it shows how impactful it is. And for UFC to do what they're doing, for the Raiders to do, you know, what they're doing, and, you know, the blood drives that we're doing, and KNCI and CBS and all of that, it shows, look, we're capable of functioning together.
Mm-hmm.
Because for 364 days, for non-tragedy days, we're led to believe that we can't, right? It's stand, it's sit, it's black, it's white, it's Republican, it's Democrat. Over and over and over again, that stuff is pounded in your head. And then something like that happens, and you're reminded, oh, there's more to it. But see, now, I mentioned that calming effect that happens, where everyone just chills for a minute. Mm-hmm. That chill is going to start going away, and it's going to go back to Republican and Democrat. More guns, gun control. Left, right, blue, red, all that. We're going to be very, yep. by the end of the week, we're going to be back in full on, let's just attack each other.
Sadly.
Again. And it's like, take yourself back. We don't need 60 people to die. We don't need 500 people to get hurt to bring us back to that moment. So good on UFC, good on the Raiders, and good on you for sticking with us today. We thank you so much for hanging out and spending part of your day with us. If you missed any part of the show, subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes. If not, for our producer, Chris Vallott, Jason Ross, I'm Damian Barling. We'll be back tomorrow at noon.